On the line, I've got Matthew Kenslow, who's joining us to talk about his book, but also think share some messages with us and talk a little bit about his life on social media. Matthew, hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Where are you calling from?
Orange County, California.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for making the effort. What time is it over there?
8:10 in the morning.
Oh, bright and early. Is this a normal time for you to be up and out and doing things?
As a substitute teacher, yes.
Yes. We'll come to that a little bit later on because I'm really interested about your work life. But I want to talk about originally, when you were just a little child, when did you first get diagnosed with Asperger's?
I was diagnosed when I was about six, so circa 2001.
And is it still called Asperger's these days? I think sometimes it's also called autism, and maybe that's the more common name. Are you able to talk us through a little bit about the wording between Asperger's and autism and how that's changed?
Yes, I was diagnosed in DSM-IV, which is a manual that was out in the 90s. But then in 2013, 10 years ago, the DSM-5 came out saying that Asperger's is no longer a diagnosis. I have the diagnosis, but it's no longer Asperger's. It's autism.
Okay. And how did you end up getting that diagnosis? What was it that maybe your parents thought that they wanted to take and have you speaking to the doctors about?
I was first diagnosed with a speech delay when I was three. Okay. And then took the preschool intervention program when I was four, followed by 3 days of special day classes, in the middle of which they suggested to my mother that I get tested, and I did. And at the age of six, about, I got the diagnosis.
Okay. And is this within your memory? Can you remember that time at all?
I can't remember exactly when I got the diagnosis, but I do remember back when I was three and four and five.
Oh, wow. I certainly can't claim to do that myself. So it can't have been so easy for you as a child with some of your social way of dealing with social interactions being so different. So did you feel different as you were growing up? And if so, how so?
I definitely felt different. It was kind of like that awkward feeling, and my friends or classmates seemed to have noticed something about me that was different. I've had classmates that told me to go away, you're not their friend, and that was back in kindergarten. Growing up later in elementary school, I mean, a person checked a handball on my face to get me to go away, and other people just called me names. And I was just wondering what it was about me, and I thought maybe it was my voice because I had the speech delay. I was taking speech therapy, but those were a couple of the things that I've noticed growing up. And then in the classroom, it seemed like my friends, they were able to read well. They were able to understand everything the teacher was saying. And I just felt like I was falling behind. But in the midst of it, I did make a lot of friends, and I'm grateful for them.
Yeah, of course. Do you think having a diagnosis helped you be able to make friends or have people understand a little bit better about you whilst you were going through that stage in your life?
Yes. Like as soon as I found out that I did have the diagnosis a little later in life, my life kind of made sense after that. And later I became an advocate.
Yeah. And it can't have been easy. You really have faced some challenges. Were you able to maybe pick out one of the anecdotes that you tell in your book about how some of the certain challenges have actually impacted your day-to-day life?
So to pick like the best one, there's a lot of challenges that we face. And then I just say, well, I'm not going to allow them to slow me down or stop me. And I feel like I gain the wisdom and I know how to help other people. So I guess I took that and decided to be an advocate and help other people.
Yeah. That's really lovely because you've also got some incredible skills and you've got a really big social media following. So maybe tell us a little bit about how you even first started or why you first started on social media.
A very good question on how it started. I was already on Facebook, but in 2017, I began to post on YouTube, and this was in the time of my life where like a lot of things were coming at me, including modern day discrimination and such. And things were seeming to be slow. So I was wondering, is there anything I could do to contribute to this world in any way, form, or fashion? And so in August 2017, I decided to go on YouTube and just post videos of my hobbies, my joys and such, from home videos to planes and a lot of other things. Then 2018, I started to talk about autism awareness, and I got Twitter that year and Instagram that year, and I just never gave up, and I continued to post nonstop since.
And did you do it because you wanted followers, or were you looking to spread your message, or were you also looking for some personal connection with other people?
I didn't do it for the followers. Okay. I just wanted to communicate the best I can. And in the beginning, like in 2017, I really never knew exactly how far I would get in social media, but I just wanted to share my message and put it out there, and hopefully it would encourage people.
And would you say that you have found connection through social media with other people?
I definitely have. I've made friends with fellow people with my hobbies, like planes and fire trucks and such, but also autism. And people have came back to me saying that I'm giving them hope, or I'm helping them understand their son better. And other people that said that my book helped them as well.
Yeah, that's really, really nice. And I think, you know, like you say, you have some challenges perhaps in social settings, but do you still feel as a person that you want those human connections? You still crave that just the same way as anyone without Asperger's or autism does?
Yes, I personally do desire that social connection, but for me, it was very hard. I was very nervous to put my foot forward to ask people to hang out with, but deep down inside, I believe I always long to hang out with my peers.
Yeah. And I mean, by the looks of it, it looks like you have achieved a very fulfilling life, that you've got your hobbies, you've got the things that you're good at and that you enjoy, and you also have a big wider circle with other people. And that really is fantastic to see. You're also a teacher. So why did you decide to start substitute teaching?
I always loved teaching since I was really young. I would go home from school and kind of play school, like pretend to be the teacher. And I'm actually writing a second book all about teaching and my early aspirations, passions, and going through student teaching in 2022 and becoming a substitute teacher. So I currently have a full math credential in the state of California, and I'm hoping to become a full-fledged teacher perhaps in 2024. But in the meantime, I'm having fun substituting.
Well, congratulations so far, and all the best with those next steps. By the looks of what you've achieved so far, I'm sure that you will achieve it. And what's your day-to-day life like as a substitute teacher? Do you enjoy the job?
I love it. It's my daily passion. It's daily motivation. And the students all seem to be happy that I'm their sub. And then sometimes when I go to the same school, this class, they see me and they heard of me, so they're excited and such. And I think the reason is because I bring a lot of incentives, like magic tricks. Well, not real magic, sleight of hand, but juggling and such and all that. So, and then day by day, it's like, I don't always know where I'm going to be until the morning of or the night before.
And do you find that quite difficult? Do you like to sort of have structure and routine in your life, and the not knowing is quite hard, or are you quite happy to go with the flow like that?
Precisely. I mean, I could go with the flow, but I'd prefer to have that structure.
Yeah.
That way I could sleep easy.
And what about your book? How has that been received? You know, you've launched it now. Have you had good feedback for it?
I have. So far, so good. I have like mostly positive feedback, and people saying that they enjoy it. It gave them hope. The message, it helped them understand a lot more.
And do you feel nervous putting yourself out there like that with, you know, such a heart-opening book?
Not as much nervous, maybe just a little tiny bit, but not as much. I always liked writing as well. Like, I always loved teaching, but also writing at the same time all my life.
And if you were to pick some of the most important messages, maybe to parents of children that have autism, or to people that just might come across someone with autism and maybe don't know how to interact with them, what would you say your best tips and your strongest messages are?
Well, for those who have autism, I just encourage to not allow the label of having autism to stop or slow you down, or what other people say about you to slow you down. I believe that disability or not, anybody could do whatever they set their heart to do. It's their choice. But I also encourage people to be their own self. Don't set standards on other people. Base them on your own self. It's okay to be inspired by other people, but don't be them. If I was driven by jealousy, I would not be here today, that's for sure. And just be yourself, because everyone's unique. Everybody has a different skill set and different levels of mastery per skill. And to the teacher, with teachers too, but also to the parents, I would contend that, like, any parent listening and seeking out information is a sign that they care. So continue to show care to the child or the person that you know with autism. Continue to show care and also help them in life, like learn skills such as, for example, cooking or balancing a checkbook or driving and such, and just continue to show that you love and care for them, and also to give them opportunity.
That's really wonderful. It's really lovely. And I think some of the messaging there is also universal, you know, it's to every human being, really. If you're ever bringing up a child or interacting with anyone, it's treating people with respect and understanding their individuality. So I think that's really, really nice. Matthew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us today. We've been speaking to Matthew Kenslow. His book is Juggling Issues, Living with Asperger's Syndrome. And you can find it on Amazon.com, BN.com, or any other online retailers. Matthew, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.